Good morning. This is our Bible study. It's precept Bible study coming from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And I want to welcome everyone to this study. And I just pray that each of us will listen to God's Word, and through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that we will learn of Him. So we will begin our study in prayer. Father, we just come to you praising you this morning for the great Almighty God that you are. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that you wrote it down for us through your very finger, Father, by giving it to these men, these great prophets, through the Holy Spirit, have written it down. And we pray now as we study or continue to study in your book, in the book of Hebrews, that you will teach us, Father, lead us, guide us, direct us, give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, that in our learning of you, we will know you more. And Father, that we will be obedient to your word, and that others will see you, Father, in us, in our lives. And we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Well, we have come now to Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, and this is lesson 10. So today we want to kind of look and get a train of thought of what these three chapters are about. And I have a list here, and I'm just going to quickly go through this to give you some idea of what is in these chapters. In chapter 3:1, it tells us to consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. And then in chapter 3, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews tells us that he is faithful, just as Moses, the great prophet, was faithful. And then in chapter 3, verse 6, the writer tells us that we are of his house, and if we hold fast until the end, then we will receive our rewards. And then chapter 3, verse 7, he says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as they did of old. And then in verses 8 through 11, the writer tells us, because of disobedience, they didn't enter his rest, they died. And then, looking back at chapter 3, verse 1, we see some warnings that he tells us, the writer of Hebrews tells us. He says, let us fear any one of you comes short of entering his rest. And then he tells us that we're to be diligent to enter that rest. If we're not diligent, if we're not pursuing to be a part of this, the word, then we won't enter the rest. And then in chapter 4, that part of us is diligent, is in chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. And then in chapter 4, verse 14, he warns us to hold on fast to our belief. And then in chapter 4, verse 16, he tells us to draw near and find grace. And then going a little bit further in the study, we learn that the warnings tell us to listen to listen. And he is telling us that if you miss salvation, that there is a penalty that you have to pay. And then he also tells us, don't harden your hearts with unbelief, that death comes by disobedience. And also he tells us that God's wrath will come. Now, let's look at verses, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and I will read these verses. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. He was faithful to God who appointed him, as Moses also was in all of his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. But just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son, whose house we are, if we hold firmly to our confidence and boast of our hope. So we're seeing here that these chapters 3 and 4 are about comparison then of Jesus to Moses. And the first thing we see is the comparison of the house. And these are all chapters also of entering into his rest. And the author calls the recipients, these believing Jews, to hold fast until the end. So, what would be our train of thought then in these two chapters? And what would be the main points? In verse 1 of chapter 3, we see that it says to consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. And in verse 2, he tells us that he was faithful. Jesus was faithful, just as Moses was faithful. And then in verse 6, he tells us that we are his house if we hold fast until the end. And then in chapter 3, verse 7, the scripture tells us if we hear his voice, that we're not to harden our hearts as they did. That's looking back at the Israelites whenever Moses brought them out of bondage and they got to the land and they hardened their hearts because of unbelief. And then in chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, we see that because of that unbelief, because of their disobedience, they didn't enter his rest and they died. So we know that Moses sent the 10 spies in when they got to the promised land to search it out. And when they came back, they were 10 of the spies that were unbelief. They were saying, no, we can't conquer this land. There's giants there. But then there were two men of the two tribes. They were Caleb and Joshua. And they believed that the people could conquer the land. And we know that because of their fear that they come short of entering the rest, And they were not allowed to enter the rest because of that disobedience. And that they died out because they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Now in chapter 4, we look at verse 14, and it tells us, therefore, let us hold fast to our high priest, who is Jesus, that sympathizes with our weakness and our temptation. And also he says, the writer of Hebrews, in verse chapter 4, verse 16, therefore draw near and find grace to help in time of need. Now, also we find, as I mentioned in the review earlier, that these two chapters mention warnings, as there were warnings given in chapters 1 and 2. Now we see that God spoke in His Son. That was in chapter 1 of Hebrews. And He said in that chapter to listen to Him. If not, you're going to miss salvation and to face a just penalty. And then He also says that if you hear the Son's voice, don't harden your heart with unbelief as Israel did. So He tells us then that they died in the wilderness because of their disobedience, because of their unbelief and their hardening of their hearts. So they had to face God's wrath and His anger. Now then, I want us to concentrate on one word, or two words, so to speak, looking at these verses in Hebrew, going back to Hebrew 1 through 5, we see that it focuses on God's house. So we want to see in this chapter what we can learn about God's house. Let's look back now at Hebrews 1:6. He says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. He was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was in His house. He's talking about God's house. For He has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, Jesus has, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant for a testimony in things which were to be spoken later, but Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold firmly to our confidence and the boast of our hope. So we see a contrast here, and we see in a verse in chapter 3 that Moses was a faithful servant in God's house, but it tells us also that Jesus is the faithful son over God's house. So here it says that the house was a testimony. It tells us that Moses and the house was a testimony of all the things that were spoken later. And the things that were spoken in Jesus, in His Son, in these last days, They were themes about the Son, Jesus, being over God's house. Although Hebrews, or all through Hebrews, we see a contrast and a comparison between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this is shown in several different ways. A Christ house is paralleled with being partakers of Him that we see in verse 14. And then we see that His house, Jesus' house, is made up of believers who hold fast until the end. Now, I want to look at some scripture, and we'll be looking mostly in the New Testament, but I want to take the time that we can see how that this was compared by the writers of the different scriptures in referring to Christ and Christ's house. So let me read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, 22. Therefore, remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at times separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who previously were far away have been given, been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the hostility, which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two one person, in this way establishing peace, and that He might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, is growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So, what are these verses saying? We know that Paul wrote this letter, and he wrote it to Gentile believers. And here he is explaining to them the mystery of the church, the Jew and the Gentiles being in one body. So, he points out that Christ Jesus is the cornerstone of His house, and that the apostles and the New Testament prophets are the foundation, and they preached and explained the good news of the gospel. Of these prophets that wrote down the New Testament, and they wrote the part of the Word of God which He spoke in His Son. So, if you kind of get a picture in your mind of the house, and look at a house, and It is God's house. So if it's God's house, then it's referring to what? It's referring to God's people, and that house would be the church. So if you look at that house, we know that God Himself is the one that brings salvation to bring about the establishing of the church, which is our salvation. And we find that in Jesus making Him the cornerstone, because without Jesus, the house cannot be built. The church of God comes through salvation in Christ Jesus. So when you're looking at the house, you're looking at the church of God, the believers, and Jesus being the cornerstone. And then Paul tells us in the scripture that these prophets that wrote down the scripture that was given to them by the Holy Spirit, they would be the foundation. So our foundation is based on the Word of God that was written down by the prophets in the New Testament prophets. And what do we find inside the house? If you want to get a picture in your mind, you're seeing inside the house are the believers. So the believers, having now received the Holy Spirit by their belief in Jesus Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit. So we're seeing inside the house of God, the cornerstone being Jesus, and the church being made up of believers. And therefore, you see inside the church the Holy Spirit, because each believer has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we know that Christ's body is growing into a holy temple, a dwelling place in the Spirit. Now, I want to look at 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And I'll read these scriptures because all of these scriptures help us to understand more about the church, the cornerstone, congregation, the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and the foundation. I'll read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And coming to Him as a living stone, which has been rejected by people, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also are living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here we see that Peter is writing to Jewish believers that are believers in Christ that have been scattered around in modern Turkey. It's modern Turkey. And so he is telling them that as believers, that they are coming to Him because He is the living stone. And this stone, which is the cornerstone of the church, of the body of Christ, that we are building upon this. We're becoming living stones. Because we're building upon a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, that we might offer spiritual sacrifices that are accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at 1 Peter 4th chapter and the 17th verse. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, What will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So here Peter is saying in this fourth chapter that when the time for judgment begins, it begins with the household of God. And if it begins with us, then he is saying what is going to be the outcome of those that do not obey the gospel. And then we want to look further at Romans 16 and see what Paul is saying, and also in the book of Colossians. In Romans 16, verse 5, Paul is saying, also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. So in these verses, Paul is speaking. Here he says, greet the church that is in their house. Whenever the churches were first started, they were started in the homes of the believers. So this is what he is saying, that this particular one, he is a first convert coming out of Asia. And then he goes on in Colossians and tells them, Colossians 4:15, greet the brothers and sisters who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. So again, we see that the house is in these sisters, in these brothers and sisters that are in Laodicea. So the house of God is where his people are, and it's believers. They make up the house of God. So we have to remember that. And he also reminds us that we ought to keep this in mind because even if we meet in the house, as long as it is in a house of believers, it is a house of God. So now we want to go and we want to look at partakers of Christ. I'm not going to read Hebrews 6 and verse 14, but right here you may make a note, because we're looking at partakers of Christ. And we see that in Hebrews 3, verse 6 and verse 14. And we want to look at other scripture that explains to us who a partaker of Christ is. And I'm going to start by reading first in John, in the book of John, the sixth chapter, 48 through 51. And this is written by John the prophet, the apostle of Jesus. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. And this is the bread that comes down out of heaven, so that anyone may eat from it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world also is my flesh. So here we see that Jesus said that he is the bread of life, and whoever eats this bread shall live forever. And those that believe in him partake of him as the bread of eternal life. So this is how that we become a partaker, by believing upon the word of God, in believing that Jesus is the bread of life. And it's only through him and believing in him that we can be a partaker. Now in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 20, we see some more that tells us. So I'll read these verses, John 14, 16 through 20. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. So here, John points out that the Father, through Jesus, this is, he is saying, and these are the words of Jesus, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. In other words, Jesus spoke in these verses in John 14 that he was going to go away, if you go back to the beginning of that chapter. And he says here in these verses that he's going to ask the Father, since I'm going away, I'm not going to be here with you, I'm going to ask the Father to send you a helper that he might be with you. And he goes on to say that this helper is the Spirit of truth, and no one except believers can have this helper to come in and abide with them. He says, but you know him, the helper, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, because he remains with you and will be in you. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. After a little while, the world no longer is going to see me, but you're going to see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. What a promise that he makes here for believers. He said he's not going to leave us as orphans as he goes away, but he is going to send us a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And he says, because I live, you also will live. And he goes on to explain about the end time. When Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, he said, on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. So, on the day that Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom here, we're going to know on that day that Jesus is the Father, the Son. He is in the Father, he said. And you'll know that you're in me. And also you will know that I am in you. There is so much more than one lesson, even in these verses, talking about that he is in the Father, and that we are in him, and that he is in us. We don't have time to go into all that, but what a great and precious promise it is that he dwells in us through the Spirit. And he went on to say that he compares. We look at John 14, 23 to through 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. The one who does not love me does not follow my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So here we see that Jesus is explaining through the written word in the book of John. He said, if you'll follow my word, my Father, he's going to love you. And he is using a description of all three of them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, and we will come to you, to him, and make our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling with him. In other words, if we receive Jesus, then we have received all three. And all three are coming to dwell in us. But those, he says, that don't love me, they don't follow my words, then the Father is going to say they are not mine. So we know that to be a follower, to be a partaker of Jesus, we have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to have, stay firm in our belief upon the Word. We have to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read a little more here on being a partaker of Jesus. In Romans 8, verse 9 through 11, Paul speaks to us in these verses. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Wow! Isn't this such a precious, precious promise of God? And it tells us how that we, being partakers, being a part of Christ, that he says that we're not in the flesh anymore. Once we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the Spirit living in us. He says here that the Spirit dwells in you if you are no longer a dead in sins. He said that if you have the Spirit of Christ, then you belong to Christ, but you don't belong to the spirit of the flesh. If Christ is in you, the body, this flesh, is dead because of sin. And yet, the Spirit of Christ, is alive, because when he comes within us, then we are made righteous in him. And also, he goes on to tell us, being a partaker of him, we not only have come alive in righteousness through his Spirit, but the Spirit of him who raised Jesus, that's speaking of the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, he also dwells in you. And he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. What a wonderful, precious promise that God has given to us through his Word and through the Spirit that we are now partakers. So we know then that through him, that we are partakers with him. We're partakers in righteousness. We're partakers in our resurrection, just as God raised him. Now then, I want to look at Colossians. It also tells us about our hope and being a partaker. Looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. Now, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am supplementing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions in behalf of his body, which is the church. I was made a minister of this church according to the commission from God granted to me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to whom God will to make known what the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles is, the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here he says that there's no longer a mystery. There was a mystery in the past, but now he said that he has brought those that are preaching the gospel, Paul being one of them, to make known the wealth and the glory of that mystery, to be carried not only to the Jews but to the Gentiles. And that mystery, he says, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's how that we become a partaker of him, through knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, let's look at Ephesians. Again, we see Paul talking to the church. He's speaking to believers. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 32. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ gave himself up for the church. He died because without Christ's death on the cross, there would be no church. There'd be no believers. We would have no hope whatsoever, because he says he gave himself up for the church so that he might sanctify her, to make her holy, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So the church has been cleansed. We being the church, being the body of Christ, we've been cleansed by the washing of water, and that is by the word of God. That's how that we are cleansed, that he, Christ, might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or anything, but that she would be holy and blameless. So here he is saying that the church being made up of the body of Christ, that Christ is the one that makes the church spotless. And he's using an example here between a husband and wife. And so he goes on and he says, first he said that husbands are to love their wives. And then he says they ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. So here this is speaking in terms of comparison. Because we are part of his body, we make up the body of Christ. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and join his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And you know that goes back to the book of Genesis, how that we're to join ourselves together. So this is, again, talking about being partakers of Christ. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So Paul makes it plain that he is using this as an example of Christ Jesus and the church being the same body. We are partakers of Christ. We become a part of his body being believers in Jesus Christ. So Jesus said then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 17, he was saying that Jesus is the living stone, and believers are living stones being built as spiritual house for a holy priesthood. So we need to keep this in mind as we study the household of God in verse 4:17, contrasted with those who don't obey the gospel. Now then, let's look at, I want to go forward here, and we're looking at, let's look back now at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 14. We see in Hebrews 6, he tells them in both of these that if they're true believers, then they should hold fast till the end, and they should persevere and not harden their hearts. And also they're to pay attention and don't neglect salvation to drift away. It doesn't mean they'll lose it, but they can neglect the word and it'll cause them to drift away. And there's a lot in the word drift here, and we'll talk about that at another time. And so, therefore, they enter his rest through faith and through belief. Now, to conclude our study in chapter 3, and just to hit the highlights of chapter 4, we want to look at Jesus' priesthood. When we look at these chapters, we see that he is merciful, he is faithful, that he is able, that he comes to the aid of those that are tempted, just as he was tempted. And Jesus came to this earth and lived in the flesh and blood, and he understands the temptations of the flesh. So, he is the great high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. So, therefore, believers should hold fast and draw near in the time of need, the time of temptation. So, if we hold fast and we draw near, then we won't be drifting away, or we won't be neglecting or disobeying, but we'll hold on. Now, I want to just read two more scriptures. 1 John, 2nd chapter, 19th verse. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be evident that they all are not of us. And here John wrote, he talked about those that were in the church, but they were not a part of the body of church because they were not truly believers. And he was saying that they went out so that it would be evident that they all that were in the church were not a part of the body of church. And then he goes into John 8, where he wrote the Gospel of John, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. So here we know that those that remain are true believers, and those who abide, that live, remain, and continue in Jesus' word are his truly followers. So, as we look now, I want to just hit on the highlights of chapter 4, because next week We're going to study in depth more about entering his rest. It relates to holding fast our confession. So Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3, it is clear to say that those who believe enter the rest, and those that don't believe don't enter the rest. So as we look forward to going into our study in chapter 4, I pray that each of us will hold on to what we have learned in all of the other chapters, that we can bring it all together as one book that was written down by the apostle or the writer of Hebrews, and that we will apply it to our lives. So let us close out today in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, Father, to know that we are true believers, that we have your Spirit that's been sealed and made us partakers of you, of Jesus Christ, of the Trinity, Father. And I just pray that each of us will go forward this day, live out our lives, giving you all the honor and all the glory. And I just ask it now in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen.